Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we did. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Johnny.
And since it's just the two of us, I guess we can go longer than 5-7 minutes if you want.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go and kick this off.
Yeah, my bit was just going to be talk about this. We're recording on Monday, this is the day after the Super Bowl. So I was just going to express my opinions of Super Bowl Sunday, that whole experience and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So the first number one out of the gate, the commercials were just awful.
You know yes, I mean? They were. Yeah.
They were different. If they put a petition out saying, hey, we need to ban green screens from Super Bowl commercials, I would sign that. There's just, I don't know why there's so many commercials just based on with green screen, unnecessary green screen. Like there was a thing where Drew Barrymore and what's the guy from Lord of the Rings, they were filming that cruise ship, right?
And oh, right. Viggo Mortensen, right?
Not Viggo Mortensen, the other guy, the pretty boy.
Oh, Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom, yeah. It's like you're spending all this money, you can't get them on the actual ship.
Weren't on the ship?
They were not on the fish.
Are you sure about that?
On the ship. It was a horrible green screen. The other one was they got Harry and Sally back together to do the restaurant bit again.
Oh, yeah.
The restaurant. It's like this is also green screen. It's like what? You can't have them filmed in a diner. What's going on? Why is everything on a green screen? Everything looks like artificial and stuff like that. It's terrible green screen. That's number one. And number two, I didn't see any of the movie trailers. Any of them stand out? Any of them good?
There weren't that many. They had like the 30 second version of the Thunderbolts trailer, and then at the end of the episode, at the end of the ad, it tells you to go to YouTube, you know, to watch the whole thing. You know,
so none of them were like really new trailers, right? They were just like shortened versions of release trailers that they tell you to go online to watch.
Except for the Lilo and Stitch, Lilo and Stitch live action trailer was actually like they filmed a trailer. It was Stitch running on the field in the Super Bowl.
But that's not a trailer. That's not going to be in the movie.
It's an ad. You know, it's an ad for the movie. Yeah.
It's a promo.
But at least they created something new for the event. Yeah. I give them props for that.
I wouldn't give them props for that.
Come on.
Isn't it time to release an actual trailer, though? You know what I mean? It's like, come on now.
They really released a teaser trailer for Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. You know?
At least they released a unique one for Super Bowl.
Sure.
I gotta give the credit for that.
Yes. My other thing that came out of the Super Bowl was, I should talk about the good commercials at least. I think the best commercials were, I think the first one, the one with the Dunkin' Donuts with Ben Affleck. I like it. I like this Ben Affleck that leans into the Bostonian accent and you know, all that Boston. I like that one.
I wasn't a fan of that.
Yeah. I like that one. I like the Harrison Ford Jeep commercial and stuff like that.
That's a good one. I like his last line.
Yeah. I do appreciate for these commercials. I do appreciate when they try to be sincere and add gravitas and stuff like that. As far as the funniest one, I think it came very late. It's with the two best friends, the guy from I Think You Should Leave Now. Oh, I forgot the name. And the black guy from Beep and stuff like that.
The Totino's
one, I think. The one where they riff off E.T. and stuff like that. I thought that was very funny.
I was okay with that. I do remember that one. I was okay with that one.
Which one did you like then?
The one with Harrison Ford and Jeep. I did like that one, and primarily because of the last line. It's like, even though my name is, really kind of like mounted it up, his name Ford, kind of thing.
Yeah.
The potato ad I thought was really good.
Right, the one with the little kid playing the one potato, right?
Yeah,
right.
That one.
Yeah. See, I like it when they. I like it when they do sincerity. Oh, the Google one was pretty good too.
The Google one was really good. Yeah, you're right. The Gemini one was really good. I did like that
one. I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of the funny ones, I didn't really find that funny. And a lot of the ones where they just kind of like toss out all the celebrities in the commercial, I thought those ones didn't work either. I'm like, it's not unique anymore. I think 10 years ago, those things were like, oh my God, did you see so-and-so was in that commercial? Nowadays, like, we have YouTube. We have TikTok. I mean, like, what's the big deal?
The Meta commercial with Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth, and then they call it back and they added Kris Jenner to it.
Yeah,
I think that whole Chris thing's been played out at this point. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then like the Pringles. What was it? Pringles? Which one is the one? No, the Raising Cane. The one with the guy with the eyebrows.
Oh, right.
That sort of thing just doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. It's just, I don't know.
Although the David Beckham one, I thought it was kind of funny.
I don't like the David Beckham one. Do I not know what twins mean? You know what I mean? I thought it'd be a different David Beckham, like a different haircut. But it's just Matt Damon.
But that's the joke. It's Scott Damon.
But it's not a twin. How is that even close to being a twin?
I don't know what that means.
All right.
Well, yeah, I guess for that one, I gave a pass. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, overall, as far as commercials this year for Dispatch of Super Bowl Cord, thumbs down. You know what I mean? Thumbs down. You know, so
bad. And I really think it also shows that the companies that were able to release this $8 million for half a minute commercials are the really, 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 really rich ones now.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to GoDaddy? Like, GoDaddy doesn't even have a commercial anymore? Are they still around?
It's GoDaddy. And also, the one with homes.com, it's kind of clever more than anything else, but I still don't know. I don't know what, they had like three commercials. I don't know what homes.com is. Yeah. I don't know. Is it refinancing? I don't know what it is.
But a lot of, I would say half of the commercials in the Super Bowl were either very nationalistic, right? Yeah. Or they're very like money, money, money. So,
oh, but at least we didn't get a crypto commercial this year, right?
Oh, did we not? I don't remember. I know we supposedly got a Scientology one, but I guess I missed that one because I don't remember.
I didn't see a Scientology one. I saw a Jesus one.
There's that one. Yeah.
I've seen those before.
They had an ad for GLP-1. Wasn't that one of my predictions for last year?
Which one's that one?
The alternative to Ozempic.
Oh, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, Eli Lilly is an American copy, right?
There was a fatty fat commercial and stuff like that. Was that what it was?
Yeah, but that might have been what it was. Yeah. Basically, like Eli Lilly now has like a competition to Ozempic and they kept hammering on the ad like affordable, like cheaper or more affordable kind of thing, like compared to Ozempic.
Yeah.
So, because Ozempic is like a Norwegian company, right? Mm-hmm. It's from a Norwegian company.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, and I think this one is from an American company. Like I said, a lot of nationalism in his ad. And then not only that, but the tone deaf ad with Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady. Seriously.
That's embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
That's embarrassing for everybody that was involved and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's awful. And also, speaking of nationalism and all that stuff, I didn't know there was a Fox Nation app or streaming service. You know what I mean? I had no idea. And then, was that their first choice? What do you think were their first choices? Fox Nation or Aryan Nation? What do you think their first choice was for that name of that streaming service? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Besides the ads, which we agreed are.
Oh, the other Super Bowl thing. I didn't think much of the halftime show with Kendrick Lamar.
Only, oh, really?
Mostly because I didn't recognize his song from the last one.
You loved his album from last year.
No, I love that one song.
You love that one song, I see. Okay.
Yeah, the one. Yeah, Not Like Us. That's a big hit and stuff like that. But his other songs, I don't know. And also, if I would compare that performance to Academy Award and stuff like that, I would say, hey, you get an award for best costuming. You know what I mean? Best costume, best choreography. But as far as the actual music,
I mean, rap music isn't always for everybody, right?
Yeah.
I've never really been a big Kendrick Lamar fan, or I never even attempted to, because rap isn't really my genre. Yeah. But I actually liked his halftime show because he was clearly saying something.
Yeah,
and every time the halftime show camera does something, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. The whole Samuel Jackson thing, the Uncle Sam thing, that's interesting. Like, it's a very interesting halftime show.
Absolutely, there's a lot of attention to his work. You know what I mean? And like I said, the way the costumes made the flag and all that stuff, the choreography, the look of it is great. But just like, as far as just like Neanderthal brain of that I have, just wants to listen to good music and stuff like that. I don't know.
I mean, he's saying what was that line that he mentioned? Like the revolution is televised. This is the time. But you chose the wrong guy, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then when 47 is there and he's doing this, was like, and I heard he left after like halfway through the show, the halftime show. He kind of took off.
Well, he has to take a nap and stuff. He's old. You know what I mean? I did like Samuel Jackson being the MC and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I like the narrative. The narrative of this halftime show is very interesting, and especially it's kind of bold too, considering the climate of what we have right now and the crowd that they have right now. So
What are the takeaways? I think that's it. Do you have any hot takes regarding the Super Bowl? Other than the game itself, the game itself was not competitive, so there's no reason to mention the game.
But then that was kind of what's interesting about it, because you could see how the Eagles just dominated, And
yeah, they're clearly the best team.
And the commentators were just really trying to give excuses for the Chiefs. Like, well, you could never count them out. So and so, this is like yeah, they kept talking about the Chiefs when the Eagles are the one that's winning. Like, yeah. Like, come on now, people.
Yeah, but you know, in his heart, Tom Brady was ecstatic that the Chiefs got their ass.
Sure, of
you
course, know what I mean? Of course, yeah.
This Patrick Mahomes will be like the heir apparent to him, but you know, I get the feeling Tom Brady was happier. And also, we can talk about Tom Brady as a broadcaster. I thought he was just okay. I don't think he doesn't stand out either really really bad or really really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy whose job he took. I forgot his name. Trent something, some other white guy. He was also a former player. So like, I think he was like a tight end. He's really good, actually. He's actually an exceptional color guy. And so Tom Brady, like I said, he's not egregiously bad or egregiously good and stuff like that. And also, he didn't have a particularly good game to work with. You know, it was a blowout. I mean, to me, in my eyes, the game was over by halftime and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I mean, when you play against the Chiefs, you have no idea how the second half usually goes. The Chiefs has a great comeback, but I think the strength there was that the Eagles just dominated the first half, and there was like it would have been hard for them to catch up.
No, in this case, I thought that the Philadelphia's defense was just too good, man. They were just whooping their ass, man. They didn't score 1 point.
He got sacked how many times? Five times
total for the game. Six,
something like that. Like a lot.
They didn't cross midfield until the second half and stuff like that. It was ass whooping. I mean, usually my takeaway from these Super Bowls was football in general. You have a top four team, you know what I mean? And then from there, one or two plays in either game, it could go either way. You know what I mean? So to me, there's always like a top four team in any given season, stuff like that. But in this case, clearly the Philadelphia Eagles were clearly the best team of the year and this game and stuff like that. It wasn't even close. The Chiefs scored three touchdowns and two of them were junk, what do you call it, garbage time scores and stuff like that. It was an ass whooping.
But I think it really came down to the Eagles' defense. It was just unstoppable at that point.
Yeah. I mean, they gave it to Jalen Hurts, the MVP, because clearly they always give it to for the most part, they always give it to the QB. But I would have picked somebody from the defense. If they could have given MVP trophy to the whole defensive team. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree. That was very dominant.
Yeah, because looking back on the Super Bowl, not even 5 years from, but even like right now, I think Eagles defense, you know what I mean? That's the takeaway from this game. It's just Eagles defense. That's all it is. Hmm. And Jalen Hurts played great too.
He did.
Yeah.
All right. And I will once again remind everybody that I made the prediction that the Eagles was going to win. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
But anyways, all right. Apologies, listeners, if you took me for my word from the previous episode and said that we're not going to talk a lot of Super Bowl, but there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You listen to this like 4 days after the Super Bowl, but whatever. Okay, there we go. All right. My topic is I saw a movie last week. It was called Love Hurts. And I was honestly kind of disappointed that it wasn't as good as it should have been. Mm-hmm. Actually, super good. Ki Hae Kwon was good. But the second movie I saw last week was Hard Eyes. And I didn't know much about this movie except for that one teaser trailer and the guy has like hearts for eyes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hard Eyes. Fun movie. I was shocked. I was surprised how much fun it was. And then I realized that, it's from those guys. And by those guys, I mean the people who brought you Happy That Day, the people who brought you Freaky, the people who brought you Time Cut. So if you know where I'm getting at, is they have a gimmick to their movies. It is slasher plus other genre, right? You got slasher plus Groundhog Day, slasher plus a body swap movie, slasher plus time travel movie. Now, and in this case, slight spoiler, I guess, if you don't know, slasher plus romantic comedy. So when the movie was getting to the romantic comedy part and there was no like scary tone or scares or whatever, I started thinking like, wow, they're really playing up the romantic comedy part of this movie. And then at a certain point, it'll switch to the slasher part. You know, it's like, it was a fun movie. I'm going to say it was the greatest movie ever, but it's a fun movie. It's a, you know, a popcorn movie, you could say. And then we should think, what other genres could you mash up a slasher film with?
Historical drama? I don't know.
With slasher plus historical drama, I guess. Yeah, I think that would work because Jack the Ripper exists, right? So that it clearly could work. Like a period drama, like a Pride and Prejudice plus slasher.
An underrated movie from a few years ago. It was a one word movie. I forgot what it's called. Onslaught? I think it was called Onslaught, I think, back in the day.
Onslaught.
I think it was called. It was a World War II movie, right?
Oh, yes. That was was it zombies or was it not? Was it werewolves? It wasn't werewolves.
It was kind of zombies. It wasn't necessarily zombies, but reanimation, I guess, would be a broader category. It was reanimation plus World War II.
Plus World War II, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. So slasher plus World War II, I guess, is a possibility. I guess they could do that. Sure. I was thinking like slasher plus like fantasy, like slasher plus Lord of the Rings.
Have they done slasher romantic comedy?
Rom-com? This is the one. Hard Eyes. Hard Eyes is that.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening because I put the headphones away.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, spoilers. Hard Eyes, romantic comedy, yeah. Slasher.
That hurts.
Okay, but what or what can they do? A slasher plus coming of age story? Mm-hmm. I guess they could do that one. Slasher plus, what other genres are there? They could play around with.
You can do heist. Have they done a heist movie?
Ooh, slasher plus heist movie. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I guess it could be like a heist team tries to do a heist, and each one of their team members are dying, and they have no idea why. Yeah, that could work. I can see that. But yeah, Hard Eyes. I would recommend people check it out. A lot of fun. And since the Oscars is coming up soon, I kind of wanted to do like an Oscar-related topic every week. Mm-hmm. And for this one, I'm not sure if you heard of the controversy behind the Brutalist. Have you?
I've seen the Brutalist, but what's the controversy?
The controversy was that apparently they had to use AI for the actors to sound like their actual dialect of the ethnicity that they're playing.
Oh, okay.
Right. Supposedly it's very specific, and the director said that he didn't want them to sound fake. They didn't want it to not sound like their dialect, like their accent.
Okay.
Right. It's like an American guy doing a British accent, and the British people are like, oh, clearly a British accent by an American. So now you have AI that can fix this for you. AI can make you sound like you're actually from that country, you know, that kind of thing. And people have been criticizing the Brutalist, or at least
it's like a slap in the face to the actors and stuff like that. I'd say that. That's my gut reaction and stuff like that.
But I'm sure the actors know that this is happening. They probably told them, like, by the way, we're going to do this to you, kind of thing.
Yeah, but did they approve it? Did they like it? They appreciate it?
I haven't heard that part of the story, right? I'm only hearing from the director and the writer, right? So he said that he had to do this because we didn't have the time and money to get this done without AI. So they had to use AI.
I don't know if he had the phrase he had to do is it's doing a lot of heavy lifting there. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, you saw the movie, I Haven't. So I don't know exactly how much of the accent is really there.
It is a heavy accent in the movie because the lead actor and the supporting actress, they come from a specific place in Europe, right? Yeah, I think they're Hungarian Jews and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right. So it's like, so that's the controversy, right? It's like people are saying, like, do we really want to support this movie that did AI? And then there are people who are like, who cares? You know, it works. Yeah. It works. And people didn't even notice, like you never noticed, right?
I don't think it's one of those things. I mean, there's certain thresholds I have to cross before I even think about boycotting or not supporting. I don't think this is it. You know what I mean?
I don't think this is it either.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a three goddamn hour movie or dozens of characters and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, do I think this is an issue? Do I think they should have used AI instead of just relying on dialect code and all that stuff? I don't think they should use AI and stuff like that. But is it worth me not seeing this movie? No. You know what I mean? It's like,
So the argument here, I can see the director's point of view about like he didn't have the time and money, you know, because nowadays movies have to be really budget conscious. And I'm guessing he didn't have a lot of money to go with in the first place. And this is...
I will say,
Go on.
I can confirm. Oh, sorry, I didn't cut you. I'm sorry to cut you off. I can confirm. He, because I look at the Wikipedia page after I watched the movie and stuff. He only had like $6 million, $7 million, and he maximized that $6, $7 million. Watching it, it's because it's a big epic. It's like a 3.5 hour movie that spans like decades and stuff like that. Whatever money he had, he did maximize it.
I mean, based on the trailer, I wouldn't have guessed $6 million. I would have guessed like at least 45. $80 million movie,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Based on a trailer, and you're saying in the movies it looks even more like they made this for $6 million.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised how cheaply they made it for.
Yeah, so
all the actors, there are some big name actors too, and they all obviously work for scale and stuff like that.
Yeah, so this is his passion project, and he wanted to be more or less perfect, right? And I think, and he said that he will personally feel disappointed if the accent doesn't match what he wants it to, what it's supposed to sound like. Kind of thing. So he had to do this, in his words. He had to, no time and money, had to use AI.
I think he's doing a lot of heavy lifting. He didn't have to do any of this.
So,
some of that.
So like, my argument is that I know it's very trendy to hate on AI right now, but we use AI on regular things nowadays. Like our phones uses AI, you know, like just like using Google, and it's kind of AI in a sense, kind of thing. This podcast, like when I do the edit, I use this thing called denoising, where it figures out certain thresholds in like noise levels in the background, and I have the software erase that noise level. And if I think about it, that's actually AI, right? That's actually AI figuring out where to erase, where to keep, kind of thing. That's AI. So or autotune. How far do we go with like having computers alter stuff? Autotune is essentially altering your pitch when you sing, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or how far back do we go in terms of like, it's not natural, we should not support it because it's not natural? I mean, seriously, how far back are we supposed to complain about AI?
My whole thing of AI is not so much like what you're presenting. My whole thing with AI is like, hey, should this be done by a human? Are you taking jobs and money away from a human being and stuff like that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is sort of the examples you gave right now. Like, can an engineer go in there and perform these kind of tasks? If yes, I mean, you're taking money away from that person and stuff like that. The other example you use is like this podcast. I mean, we're like a rinky-dink mom and pop podcast. We can't afford a sound engineer to correct any kind of like mistakes, but right. it's a tool that you pay for. So those are the
limits. It's a free software. I use a free software to do it. So
yeah. Yeah. So again, these are the lenses I look at for AI and stuff like that. And just going back to the other example, the Brutalist. Like I said, it's a very low budget. Maybe they couldn't afford a dialect coach, but dialect coaches, I don't think are that expensive. My whole thing is, constantly you hear the actors saying, oh, I got this dialect coach for this and this and this movie, this project, blah, blah, blah. It could die a dialect coach for this and just skip the whole AI part of it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Dialect coaches can't cost that much. And also, if they hire a dialect coach, and how many people are going to watch this movie and are like Hungarian Jews that were around in the 1940s and they go, you know what? Hey, this accent is bullshit. You know what I mean? I think that's a very small... I think that's a very small population.
Or are they a small population?
Are they?
Because I mean, based on what we know, like especially like when you watch kung fu movies and whatnot, you know, or you see American actors try to talk Chinese, it's like very obvious, right? It's very obvious that they have an accent; they're not saying it correctly. I mean, and I hear that all the time. Oh, he sounds so fake.
Other obvious thing is like, hey, why don't you just hire a Hungarian Jewish actor? Or something like that? You know what I mean? How about you do that? Still make it an international thing.
Shrug, I don't know.
Then that goes back to the argument, because I know the argument will be like, hey, Felicity Jones. I think they're talking about Felicity Jones for the most part. I think they'll go like,
she's in that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I like Felicity Jones.
Yeah, spoilers. But yeah, Felicity, she's actually nominated for a supporting actress.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. I didn't know that. I kind of ignored a lot of the Oscar nominations. That's debatable now. Like, if I was the Academy member voting for something and I looked at her performance, oh, she performed great. And then people go like, You know, she used AI for her voice, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, I'm not sure what voice for that now, you know.
But it's her and also the lead, Adrian Brody. They're both from that. They play husband and wife, but they both come from that area and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
I can totally see myself, if I was a voter, I could totally see myself not voting for them for that AI aspect.
It's just like I said, to me, if I were a guy in charge, I would say, you know what, just rely on a dialect coach. Whatever. If it's not perfect, it's not perfect. You know what I mean? Life's not perfect. And, you know, great films are made not by the should also be judged by the imperfections as well. So it's fine. You know what I mean? But like I said, if they use a little bit of AI, I didn't notice it when I watched it. It's like, of all the things that it doesn't reach a threshold where I'm like, hey, fuck this movie.
It makes you wonder that if Adrian Brody does win, which signs point that he might, right?
I think he's the front runner right now.
Would people like put an asterisk to his win and go one with AI?
the AI didn't act. You know what I mean? It didn't make his facial expressions, right?
Sure. But nowadays it's always this stipulation and like caveats and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah. One last thing with AI thing. Fantastic Four. And did you hear about the Fantastic Four AI controversy also?
Yeah, because they released a trailer with a poster, right?
Poster.
And they said that the poster, people think it's AI.
Yeah, and then their official stance, Marvel's official stance, that they're not AI, you know? And I'm kind of leaning towards it's kind of AI. Unless they told me, like, we hired Alex Ross to do this very Alex Ross-looking posters. I would say it's AI. Like, what's your opinion?
I didn't do a deep dive on it. Did they name the artist?
No. I don't remember Marvel saying, like, the artist did this. Like, no artist came out that I can see from any news articles and said, hey, I did those posters. Right.
Yeah. If they didn't name the artist, then I think they might be in trouble.
Because right now, a lot of people are saying like we see people in that poster with four fingers.
Yeah.
So like it's got to be AI.
Yeah. If they don't name the artist, I think that they're in big trouble. Or the big trouble is doing a lot of work right there. But I think that's a big no no. You know what I mean? Because artists, number one, they signed the work. You know what I mean? And also they credit it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think if I were to guess, I would say it's probably AI. They're BSing.
Yeah, because I mean, I mean, it's very easy. They could just say like I said, the artist could just step up and go, "Hey, I did that." You know, I may have used computers, but I did use AI. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. If none of them say none of them step up and go, "I did that poster," I would be inclined to think that it really is.
Unless AI. The other possibility, they might be protecting the artist who did use AI.
Well, then it'd still be AI. Then there's no point to protect the artist.
They don't. They would. Then Marvel would be protecting themselves, or the artist might be protecting Marvel and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because I forgot who the artist was, but there is a Marvel or DC cover artist and stuff like that that gets hired for work, right? Mm-hmm. But when he turns stuff in, it's he used AI to help him and stuff. No, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the other possibility. That might be the more likely possibility. You know what I mean? Marvel hired an artist. They released a poster. What people call BS, say it's AI. They go back to the artist and the guy goes,
yep. I mean, not only that, but you never saw the posters, right?
I saw a thumbnail of it, yeah.
Yeah, they look like Alex Ross paintings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless not really.
They could have, no, not really. It's very close to it. They could have just hired Alex Ross to do this, and that's clearly what they should have done that, for. Yeah.
Oh, if that's what you're talking about, that for sure they should hire Alex. Alex Ross loved the Fantastic Four. He loves this time period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah,
he loves money and publicity. So they totally could have just hired him.
I remember the poster itself was like a very busy poster. It's like a group shot, right? Like some sort of protest or something?
No, it's like people like kind of like the Beatles crowd kind of thing, people with Fantastic Four sign kind of thing.
There's a lot of people, right?
It's kind of like some of the artwork he did in The Marvels. Remember Marvels? That thing he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have just hired him.
I imagine Alex Ross doing a more clean version of a Fantastic Four poster that had a Fantastic Four in it. But anyway, I think if you had put a gun to my head, I would guess I guess that's what happened. Marvel did hire artists, and the artist, he or she, went ahead and used AI and got caught. Marvel's just trying to protect them, I guess, you know, or her. So,
Let's see. Did Alex Ross say anything about that?
Why are you so fixing on Alex Ross?
Because I just realized, like, yeah, they should have just hired Alex Ross.
Oh, he's very expensive too.
So Marvel is money. Come on.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyways, and that's what's up. No, nothing. All right. Thanks for listening. That's what it is. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Juncture. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
And now you can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else on the show notes found at whoatwearswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 21 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jamie.
This is Valentine's weekend, right? Valentine's week?
Correct.
I think it's Friday or Saturday or something
like that. So when you guys listen to this, it should be tomorrow.
I'm just going to list a bunch of romantic movies and stuff like that, you know, for Valentine's Day. So I'm just going to rapid fire. The greatest, two masterpieces I'll mention is Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. Sorry, the Richard Linklater.
The Before series. Trilogy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't seen the third one, Before Sunset. I forgot what it's called. The last one, because I don't want my heart to be broken. I haven't seen the third one. I heard it's very sad, so I'm not gonna see it. But the first two, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, are two masterpieces. I love those two movies. They're wonderful and stuff like that. The other big romantic movie I want to mention is Wong Kar Wai's In the Mood for Love. If you ever want to be jealous of how good looking people are, how wonderful they look in costume, watch In the Mood for Love. That is more of longing and desire than anything else. Mm-hmm. I would also recommend, just recently, Past Lives.
That's not a romantic movie. Come on.
Oh, that's romance, baby. That's destiny. That's romance. I would say, looking back on it, it's more romance about like self-love, self-care more than anything else and stuff like that. I love that movie.
I feel like that's way too sad of a movie to recommend movie.
Well, you're not gonna like this next recommendation then. The flip coin of romantic love or attraction and all that stuff is my next recommendation. The opposite is Wong Kar Wai's Happy Together. That is the most misleading title in the history of movies, because they're not happy together. They're very miserable
Not definitions of movies you should watch on a Valentine's Day.
Hey, life's rough that way. It's yang. One can't exist without another and stuff like that.
Valentine's Day week, John, man. You're recommending this movie.
What are we, babies? What are we, little kids? We can't handle a little heartbreak? Happy Together by Wong Kar Wai. Fantastic. As far as traditional rom-coms, I'm going to recommend my favorite of all time is Bridget Jones's Diary, starring Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth, and an amazing Hugh Grant performance and some of that. I also recommend Glenn Powell. People love Glenn Powell now, but one of my favorite movies, one of his early favorite movies, is Set It Up. It's on Netflix.
That's right. I remember that movie.
I love that one
definitely Valentine's Day.
I love that. And of course, after I mentioned Notting Hill, after Bridget Jones, I should also recommend my other favorite from back in the day, Notting Hill, starring Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant back in the day. Charming, romantic, and stuff like that. So yeah, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
I mean, if you're gonna go Glenn Powell, you should also recommend Hitman. That's also a romantic movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, not quite what I'm going for, but all right, sure.
Well, since you haven't seen, Hard Eyes. And I already spoiled to you that it's going to be slasher plus romantic comedy.
Sure.
There is one line, I'm not spoiling it, in a way it kind of am, that where they do like romantic comedy movie puns. That was entertaining. So keep an ear to that when you watch the movie.
I put my headphones away, so I'm sure
it was a wonderful joke. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to Valentine's Day.
Yeah. My recommendation, really simple. I watched the Super Bowl in Tubi. Did you do the same, or did you watch it how?
How would I watch it using Tubi? I don't know. Tubi, my ass.
So you're saying you watch it on YouTube TV, right?
YouTube TV, yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, you had to pay extra money for 4K on YouTube TV, correct?
I didn't pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So you were watching in HD. Tubi had it for free in 4K, okay?
Yeah, I don't know what my takeaway from that is.
I had a better experience than you did, technically.
What kind of bougie person do you think I am? Like, oh my god, this thing on my plate is not 4K. Get out of here. Get, return back to the kitchen. Get out of here.
So, junk. So I did watch the Super Bowl on Tubi because Fox also owns Tubi, and they're showing the Super Bowl for free on Tubi. You know, and I was thinking, like, why would I watch it on Tubi when I have YouTube TV? And I realized, oh, they're showing it in 4K in that side. Okay, I guess I'm gonna check it out. And flawless stream. There was no buffering issues, and it was good. It was a good stream. I couldn't notice the difference. You know, it's like it was a really good stream. And my recommendation is check out Tubi. Tubi does have it's a free streaming service with ads. And I guess in the Super Bowl's case, I mean the Super Bowl already came with ads, so they didn't have to toss in Tubi ads. It's just regular ads from the Super Bowl kind of thing, right? Tubi has this whole thing where they're like promoting content that they have that are quote unquote not on Netflix. So I just thought I'll run down some of the movies they have here that are apparently not on Netflix, but they have it. Like Roadhouse, like Dirty Dancing, you got Rudy, you got Ronin, you got The Green Mile, you got American History X, Fargo, Snowpiercer, Dead Presidents, Stargate, The Pianist, so on and so forth. They even have anime and TV shows as well. So yeah, if you never used Tubi before and you're just tired of the paid streaming services, here's an option for you. It's free. It does have ads, but it is free. And they have some stuff. They have some stuff for people to watch. And I believe they also have some originals, which I've never seen, but they do have some originals. And so Tubi TV, TubiTV.com. That's my recommendation to check it out. You know. So there we go. You never used Tubi before, Jeremy?
No, it's fine.
Okay. All right then. This was
I can't finish the backlog of shows and movies I have on my streaming service. I can't add another to it. I tell you, this year I finally cut off Paramount. Like I
really?
It's too much. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to do a thing where I'll probably join for 1 month at the end of the year to watch everything I missed, but for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that they're cutting out a lot of the Star Trek stuff. So it's like,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think they have like two Star Trek series coming out this year. So whenever they finish all the episodes, I'll just sign up at the end of the year and then watch it in a binge. But it's just too much. I do a thing where I think I mentioned this before. I write down like, seasons of television I watch per streaming app that I have. And at the end of last year, I only saw maybe like four shows on Paramount Plus. That's the lowest by far from any of the streaming services. But
and you're not counting the Star Trek shows, right?
Hmm?
You're not counting the Star Trek shows?
No, I count everything. I count Star Trek shows. Yeah, it was like two Star Trek shows and there was something else. I forgot what it was. But yeah.
Are you watching the new one? Section 31?
The movie? That's the movie.
No, it's a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie, man.
I thought it was a TV show.
No, it was a movie. Made for TV movie.
Oh.
Come on now.
I haven't seen it yet. So I thought I thought it was a new TV show.
I thought you were talking about the Michelle Yeoh one?
Yes.
No, that's a movie. That's a movie.
That's a movie? Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. Movie. Yeah, it is a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah.
Oh, check
it out. It got terrible reviews, by the way. It was like some horrific reviews. So yeah. No. The two Star Trek shows. Yeah, the two Star Trek shows coming out this year from Paramount Plus. I think it's the Starfleet Academy one, and then this third season of Strange New Worlds. Mm-hmm. And I heard The Agency is also really the one with Michael Fassbender. I heard really good on Paramount Plus. Also, Landmine for shock value. I heard it's really good, but it wasn't whatever it is. It wasn't enough for me to justify paying like what $10 a month to keep Paramount Plus. So that's the one I cut off. So my original point is, I'm not going to add Tubi when I still have things on Netflix, Hulu, and whatever to watch.
Well, in many cases, you're not exactly the target audience for my recommendation because I mean, Tubi is mostly like legacy movies or TV shows kind of thing that you probably already have seen. But there is a huge population out there that are not like us. Who like watching older stuff?
No, I think I am the target audience because people who have nostalgia, like old farts like me, want to go back and watch it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I don't think the kids these days, I don't think they're nostalgic for old TV shows and old movies and stuff.
Well, I still recommend Tubi for the people who, like the kids who haven't seen the old stuff, They can go to Tubi and watch it over there for free.
I know what's on Tubi because there's a podcast I listen to called The Rewatchables, right? That's what I've talked about before. And they're a couple of old dudes and they talk about old movies and talk about house. Then when they kind of spitball about movies and stuff, they'll mention Tubi. You know what I mean? This old 80s action movies on Tubi, Jackie Brown, like those old, those kind of Black Plantation movies on Tubi and stuff. So, yeah, I'm familiar with Tubi's game, but no.
Well, like I said, not for you. You know, I also hardly ever use it myself, but there are some, I was looking at it. There are actually stuff in the My List section kind of thing. I have the Transformers animated show from the 80s in that list.
Have you seen Blue Eye Samurai yet?
No.
You son of a bitch. Have you seen Abbott Elementary?
No.
You son of a bitch.
Like you said, there's a lot of things to watch. That's why I haven't really watched older stuff.
Can you show good?
Okay. This was episode 844 of the Stuff
in Adventure. He's winning all these awards. It came out like 3 years ago. It's still winning all these awards.
I'm just waiting for the second season, and then I'll watch the season one right to season two.
How is it still winning awards? What's going on?
I'm saying is that when season two comes out, I will watch it before season two come out.
Arcane. Huh? I heard Arcane second season is a masterpiece. I still haven't seen it.
I actually haven't seen it either. I have a list. I have a long list of TV shows that I need to watch. And stuff from like last year and the year before. And it's just, there's a lot of TV. And honestly, my excuse is that I'm on YouTube too much. YouTube is eating up a lot of my time.
How dare you add a Tubi?
I recommend it to the listeners. You know, they're not like us. They're whatever. No. But anyways, that's the recommendation. TubiTV.com. We do know somebody that works at Tubi. So, somebody else decides to call. All right. This was episode 844 of Stuff with Junction. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who With Worst Part Production. Oh, speaking of TV, at one point I was watching something. I forget what it was. I think it was an anime. I paused it, right? And I had to walk away. And when I came back, my TV was all black. And I was thinking like, oh shit, is something wrong with my TV? Like, what happened? Mm-hmm. I could have sworn I just paused it, right? And then it turns out it was paused. My TV screen is just that good. It was so black. it was still on. It was just paused on a black frame, I guess.
There you go.
And wow, remember that? Was it IMAX? Which theater does that?
Oh yeah. The
it was IMAX, right?
I think so.
Like
or Dolby.
What are those? And they're I think it is Dolby. It was Dolby Cinema, yeah. Right? And they'll have that black screen. And you go, mm-hmm. like, don't worry, the screen is still on. Yeah. And then I gotta think, that one, I experienced that. I literally experienced it with my TV.
I don't know who this bit is for, man.
It's for me. It
sounds like you're jerking yourself off.
I'm just saying, is that I was impressed. Like, I bought a TV that was able, because my previous TV, if it's a black screen, you know if the TV is still on because it's not completely black.
Dang, but, this is a really long jerk off for yourself, man.
This one just was looking at them, it was just looking yourself in the mirror. Like, oh. Black. I was so I was impressed after the fact. Like, oh my god, it's just I still had it in the past.
I'm so happy with the TV I bought. I'm so awesome. Look at this.
Yeah,
look at this.
It is
good lord.
All right,
get your freak on. Good lord.